You're about to enter the world of Michael Zavala.
Okay, yes.
Now's your chance to turn back.
Hello.
You're listening to MZ Michael Zavala.
MZ.
This is MZ Now.
MZ.
I had a murder family of wasps today.
Oh, yeah?
A family of wasps. I had a murder.
Did you get attacked?
No, not yet. I was just kind of preventing an attack. Like, I noticed a new family had moved in, a couple of them, right underneath my door. But they're like mud daubers, so they kind of do their own thing, and I do my, they're not very aggressive. And so I didn't really bother them, and they didn't bother me. And then this other wasp just moved in. I don't know where his nest is, but he started to flex up on me today. So, like, he started to hang around the front door just waiting for me. And when I would walk out, he would just kind of circle me, like trying to size me up. So I had to go and grab the wasp killer, spray him. And I thought, well, since I've already got it out, might as well spray these other wasps too.
So it's funny that you mentioned this because I got attacked by a bird the other day.
What kind?
I was going to work, and we have a few trees around where I work, but we also have like this high patio cover, so they like to get up in there and kind of nest and everything. And I was just walking to work, and all of a sudden, like, I just felt something like kind of slap me on the back of the head, not like hard or anything like that, and it didn't peck me. But then all of a sudden, I turn around, and there's this bird like on this wire that. Where we have a that runs electricity, so to say.
Yeah.
And he's just sitting there like looking at me. And then I look at him like, what the hell? And I start walking away and he starts squawking at me. And then I turn around and I start like punking him. And
now when you say punking, what did you mean?
Oh, well, I started cursing at him and calling him like, hey, why don't you come on down here?
Let's in front of customers.
Well, it was at the back. So it was a part of the restaurant that we haven't opened yet. So no one really saw it. But then here's the funny thing. It's like, I get in the office and I'm getting ready for work. And then another, coworker walks in and he's just got this kind of confused look on his face. And I look at him and I'm like, hey, did you just get attacked by a bird? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, let's go deal with this. So then I grabbed a couple of limes and, they were like, you're not going to attack that bird with these limes. And I'm like, oh yeah, I am. But, it didn't come to that. Cause then I started my trash talking again with my coworker there. Then another bird showed up. So it was like, oh, you want to do two on two?
Yeah.
And my coworker was like, dude, just leave it alone, Clark. Just leave it alone. And I'm like, yeah.
He was all holding you back.
Yeah.
So what happened?
But, I just went to work and that was it.
So you were the bigger man.
I was the bigger man. Yeah. I'm not going to let that bird ruin my day. So, but I will say this about going back to the wasp thing, is there not anything more gratifying than just hitting a wasp nest with that wasp killer?
No, it's very, it's very satisfying.
It's almost on the same level as like peeling the skin after a sunburn.
Well, or I don't ever get sunburned like that. So I don't know what that feels like.
You should try it sometime. We could just, you know what? We'll just burn you regular style. How about that?
Yeah. Just kind of medium rare it. And then I'll just peel it off. Mark's on the phone. Hey, Mark.
What's up?
So the reason why I wanted to have Mark on is because he's a big Zack Snyder fan, and I don't understand why. And like, we have those talks off air, and I thought he was kidding. He said, I'm not really a Zack Snyder fan.
They're more like brawls. Like, you guys get into a fight over.
Yeah, we do. No. But the problem is Mark just lays down and is like, and agrees with everything. You know what I mean? Like, I'll present my argument and he's like, yeah, you're right. He sucks. And then, but then he doesn't rebuttal it and he's still a huge fan.
You just shoot your load.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I just hate arguing with people, you know?
No, but I want to hear, but if Eric knows this, if he starts to attack something that I like, I'll at least present, and I'm not trying to necessarily change his mind, but I'll bring up points to, you know, defend my position. So
he's already agreeing with you.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So Mark knows how I am. So he knows that I bring up good arguments, but Michael's like trying to convince me whatever he's trying to convince me with, I normally say it And like, well, I guess we have two different points of view, but whenever Michael puts out audio or article out on my views, people agree with me.
Right.
And not him. Right. So I'm like, he goes, Eric, you're right. And I was like, I know I was.
Yeah, usually like 3 days later, I'll hit up Eric. I'm like, yeah, you were right about that. But at least I stood my ground at the time. Yeah. That's what I believe. Mark was like, I love Zack Snyder. He's got every Zack Snyder movie. I'm like, well, Zack Snyder sucks. And he's like, yeah, you're right. But he doesn't believe that. So because of HBO Max, they're going to redo the Snyder Cut, or they're going to release the Snyder Cut next year or so, which I think, in my opinion, I think is an awful idea, but I'm going to present my argument, and then I want Mark to present his. All right?
Ooh, can I be the judge?
Yeah, you're Judge Mathis. Right.
I'll wear my graduation robe.
Yeah, do you have it?
I still have it.
Put that on.
Can he be Judge Judy with a wig on?
Yeah, be Judge Judy with a goatee.
No, because I'm going to tell you how both of y'all are disgraceful, and y'all can just make up and, that's, you know, funny, come to agreement.
But Mark, if you don't agree with what I'm saying, don't agree with it. Like, tell me why. I'm not trying to change your mind necessarily. I'm just speaking what I think, what I'm feeling. And so I want, if you got to verbally abuse me.
What is that? I'm going to charge you because I'm his manager and he takes payments for that.
Right.
Oh my God. All
right, so here's what I'm going to say.
We're talking Justice League, right?
Justice League. Yeah. Sorry. I should have been more clear on that. So first off, Mark, why don't you tell me why you like Zack Snyder first? Present your argument of why you like Zack Snyder.
Well, I'm a visionary person.
Right.
Like I love movies that capture like my eye, rather it be like Zack Snyder or Terrence Malick. Like I just love visual movies. And I feel like his movies, even though a lot of people kind of say that his way of storytelling is very, you know, kind of like everywhere.
To sum it up, what you're saying is you like the visual aspect of Zack Snyder in his movies, way they look, the way they feel. And I will give credit where credit's due. I think Zack is a great visual artist, right? So if I was going to shoot a franchise and I wanted a certain look to that film or the trilogy that I was planning, I would hire Zack Snyder to create the look and the feel of the films, the tone, if you will. If he was like, hey, do you want me to direct too? I can direct. I'll be like, no, thank you. We've got people that know how to tell stories that'll do that. So don't worry. Yeah. Just work on the visuals.
Okay, yeah. I get that.
So I will give you that. So let me present my argument as to why I think the Zack Snyder cut that everyone's so excited about all of a sudden is a bad idea. Let's talk about his early films. So the Superman Man of Steel, that came after the success. It was riding the coattails of the Dark Knight series, right?
Right.
So those were huge movies, huge success. And they're like, let's continue it. Let's build on that. Let's bring in Superman, do the same dark, gritty, kind of down to earth feel to it. The movie comes out. I remember watching it and not really liking it. Didn't hate it, just didn't really like it. And I thought one of the main issues was casting Amy Adams as Lois Lane, because Lois Lane is a hard hitting, you know, no BS reporter. And she came off, in my opinion, Amy came off very like timid and, you know, hey, I have a question. Do you want to answer it? No. Oh, okay. Sorry to bother you. And just, you know, kind of hunkers out. That's kind of how I feel. And I feel like Lois Lane is a very well-defined character over the years. And the fact that it was so far off base started to raise red flags. If this was a relationship, this would have been my first red flag.
Also, I just want to point out, she's a redhead versus being or having black hair. And I know that's
correct.
You know, I mean, come on. Let's just be real here.
Right. Lois Lane is a brunette. Let's be honest. And then he does Batman versus Superman. And I remember going to the theater and again, seeing another red flag, which was Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor. So I'm thinking that's another well-defined character. Why Jesse Eisenberg? Then I, you know, wait for the Blu-ray to come out. It comes out. I watch a director's cut at home, super excited to rewatch it. And I thought to myself after watching it again, this is a terrible movie.
This is the longest opening statement I've ever heard.
Oh yeah. Well, I've been practicing this all day, and this is the shortest it's been. Like I could do a whole three shows on this. This is how passionate I am about how terrible Zack Snyder is.
I'm sitting here like going, oh my God.
The court would like to remind you that we only have so much amount of time.
Okay. I'll speed it up now. I'm getting to the end now. So now the Justice League, they're starting to work on that. Warner Brothers is now concerned with how these movies are going. They're not well received. People are hating it. There's many stories that have been flying around. But I think what happened is Warner Brothers fired him. Of course, he also had to step away. He had a family tragedy. He had to deal with that. And so they called in Joss Whedon as, you know, in the middle of filming. Actually, they were about to wrap up Justice League. And they said, Joss, can you come in and make something out of this horrible atrocity, this disaster of a movie? Can you at least make something that is somewhat entertaining? And Joss rolls up his sleeves and he says, I'll try. I'll do my best. No promises. And I think Joss does a great job at a Justice League movie that is at least entertaining. It's not what we were promised in this big Zack Snyder universe that, you know, he was building up, but it was at least entertaining. It was a fun little ride.
Yeah.
Here we are in 2020. Now everyone's calling for the Zack Snyder cut. The same people, by the way, who were bashing Batman versus Superman just 5 years ago, whenever it came out. Same people. Right. Enough time has passed that people don't remember how bad the other movies were.
Yeah.
Do you have any rebuttals to that?
Yes, I do, actually. So here's my thing. Now, this is why I'm excited for the Snyder Cut. Because one, yes, I'm a big fan of Zack Snyder. Just because of his previous movies, like Sucker Punch, even though that movie made no sense at all, I really enjoyed it because it's like a, like a fun movie, right? But a lot of people hated it. Same thing with Man of Steel. I do agree with you about the characters, about the actors that are playing the characters, 100%. Homegirl, no. I thought she was the worst Lois Lane that has ever been on the screen. Like, the worst Lois Lane. I would have liked somebody that was, you know, like how you said, more stronger, more dependent, you know, didn't really have to, you know, she got in trouble and, you know, fought her way out type of chick. Like, I would have dug that a lot. And homeboy playing Lex Luthor, I felt like he was trying so hard to be like Heath Ledger, like crazy like Heath Ledger. And it just came off sort of like a hustle. You know what I mean? Like, it just came off like he was trying too hard to be crazy, or too hard to be like this nuts guy that had daddy issues. Like, it was just like, nah, I don't believe him being this person. Like, they could have got anybody else to play Lex Luthor, and I would have been okay with it.
They made him too much like who's the founder of Facebook?
Mark Zuckerberg.
Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah. Social network.
Yeah. He was more Mark Zuckerberg than an actual criminal.
Yeah, like, it's almost like they were like, we love what you did with the Social Network. Let's make, like, if Lex Luthor made the Social Network, like, he made Facebook, how would he be after a few years of, crime and
chemo?
And people. Yeah, yeah. Like, and it came off like, no, like, this is stupid. Like, I don't like him.
But here's a guy that I think with those characters that are so well defined and you get them so wrong, it starts to make me think that maybe you don't understand these characters. You know what I mean?
And that's what worries me. Yeah. I totally agree. And the thing with Zack Snyder is he is a big fan of DC, but he's more of a fan of, like, certain DC graphic novels, I feel like, because he's always going to different graphic novels to kind of describe his tone and describe what he's going for. And I think that his tone is always going to be a darker tone. It's always going to be,
I'm totally cool with
something
that.
Gothic.
Yeah.
And same here. And I feel like the thing is, is you're right. The one thing you are right about is the storytelling is a little off. Like it can be off on some points, like for sure. I do think that he sometimes doesn't have a lot of creative process on his own, because from what I hear a lot with Warner Brothers, when it comes to superhero movies, they like to take full control because they want to make their movies different from Marvel. Right. And I think that they want to make it different, but they also want to keep it family friendly, like the Marvel movies, so more people can go watch these movies. But I mean, look at The Watchmen. I don't know if you guys ever seen The Watchmen, but
I did not watch it because I heard there was blue dong in it, and I'm not interested. Dong. Yeah,
but dude, I'm telling you, it has to be one of the best graphic novel comic book movies that ever came out.
Now, like, are you talking so about good. Visually or the whole story? Because if there's no story, what do I care? I can just watch it on mute.
No, like even the story. Well, my personal opinion is. The director's cut, and I hate having to say director's cut, because you know that's where it goes with the studios. You know, there's so many director's cuts that are better than the original. I mean,
right.
The Blade Runner theatrical cut was completely different from the director's cut, and the director's cut made the theatrical cut look like shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So sometimes, you know, I feel like the studio kind of ruins some movies. Like The Watchmen, the first theatrical cut was not good. Like, it kind of sucked because they left out a lot of key points. But then when you watch the director's cut, you see exactly what Zack Snyder was sort of going for, and it makes sense, and it looks a lot better. But see, with Man of Steel, Batman versus Superman, I see what you're saying about the director's cut, because it's almost like you either like it or you hate it, because there's some things that still don't make sense. Or there's like the whole Martha, Mother Martha thing.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Like, I sat there and I was like, what? Like, that's the reason why he doesn't want to kill Superman anymore? Like, why didn't they kind of change it up? Or that's the one thing I wish was different. Because even I thought like that was kind of laughable, you know, and the way Ben Affleck was like acting on it, like I thought that was like super forced, and yeah, I didn't care for that. But I did like the movie, because the director's cut again was a lot better than the theatrical version. And there was more story, you know, there was more dialogue, you know, there were key points that you didn't see in the theatrical version that kind of put the film together in the director's cut. That's just my opinion.
I hope it's good, because if it's good, that means we might get more Justice League movies. I'm cool with the cast as far as, you know, Lex Luthor or whatever I didn't like, but as far as the main heroes, I'm cool with. Even Ben Affleck, right. It doesn't bother me. So I hope it's good, but I don't like the fact that like he's like, I'm going to make the movie that I set out to make in the beginning. No. You had like all these years to think about all the mistakes that you made in these old movies. You didn't have these thoughts previously. That's the reason why you were fired from the movie.
I just wanted to point out one thing, like when we get into the whole artist interpretation of how to make something, that's you're taking something that's well established. All right. We know the story about Superman. We know the story about Batman. We've seen all the different interpretations. The thing is, like, when you get to the point where you want to make something that's so aesthetically pleasing, you kind of lose focus on what you're making the movie for.
Right.
You're making it for the fans. This is the same issue I have with the episode 8 of Star Wars, and then trying to rectify all the problems that they made in episode 8 with episode 9. So you come up with something like totally ridiculous, and you're just kind of like, okay, well, I guess that's the period or the exclamation point that we're going to put at the end of the paragraph. I think Mark is right when he says that Zack Snyder set out and made a visually stunning film but also trying to set it apart from Marvel. Because I'll be real with you, the reason why the Marvel movies are really good to me is because it looks and feels almost like a cartoon as opposed to and which a cartoon is closer to a comic book than a live action movie.
Right.
The issue that I have with the DC part is that they're trying to make it more realistic, but you have a man flying around that can shoot laser beams out of his eyes.
Right. It worked for Dark Knight because you could have Batman in real life, right?
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. Like this will, and this will go to this preludes my James Bond Batman argument, because James Bond makes sense because it is set in the real world, just like Batman is.
Right.
Now you're trying to bring two worlds together, and it's not symbiotic in the least. And then to just put a little bit of a cherry on top, then you start making these characters a little bit different, or a lot different than the archetypes that we have come to know. In my opinion, the worst character that they had on that film was Jimmy Olsen. So Jimmy Olsen turns into a CIA operative and he's killed. Oh, yeah. And like, that's it.
Yeah.
Or just the sheer kind of window of mentioning Robin, because it is the older Batman. I mean, they could have made it badass to where they brought Nightwing in. That would have been great. I thought Wonder Woman was, and I know I'm going off on a tangent, but I thought Wonder Woman was an excellent film.
Oh yeah.
It flowed very well.
Because Zach had nothing to do with it.
Sure.
No, he was producing. He produced it.
Yeah, but that was, they just did that as a courtesy. He didn't really do anything.
Oh.
I think and here's the deal. I thought Aquaman was really entertaining because it kind of went, I think Aquaman is the closest thing that is closest to a Marvel movie out of all of them that's been made.
And you know why that was good? Because Zack Snyder had nothing to do with it. He was already gone by then. Great movie. Because Zack Snyder didn't touch it.
I was just watching the movie today. I watched Shazam for the second time, so I only seen it once in the theater.
Yeah.
And I was like,
oh yeah,
dude, this movie is a great DC movie. Like, DC needs to be like this. It needs to be fun.
It was trying to. But guess what? Your boy Zack Snyder keeps effing everything up. That's my whole thing.
I think the best DC could do is actually look to their animated films, because I think their animated films, I've only seen like maybe one or two where I'm like, okay, that was kind of a complete waste of time. But their animated movies really flow well because, I mean, like I was saying earlier, the more you can kind of make it resemble a cartoon, the better you're going to be off in trying to A, appeal to families, and B, actually be incongruency with the comic books.
And you know why the animated movies are so good? Because Zack Snyder has nothing to do with it. All right, so let's go to the judge. Let's hear your verdict on all of this. You've heard both sides.
So I'm going to have to rule in favor of Mike. But I will say this, though. I'm looking forward to the Zack Snyder cut, because if it's like, hey, if it's going to rectify the film in a better way, because I mean, I agree with Mark. If you've ever seen Apocalypse Now versus Apocalypse Redux, I mean, Redux is a superior movie.
Right.
There's a director's cut of Terminator 2 that has a lot more added features to it that kind of makes the movie better. But overall, Justice League does not hit the mark, and that's my verdict.
There we go. All right. Well, like I said,
it's dropped.
Now my sentence is, I'm gonna sentence this to just no jail time, probation only, community service.
There you go, community service. I'll need my car wash next week, by the way, Mark.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, but I'm hoping it's good, because I want to see more movies, regardless if they're good or bad. I'll still watch it, and I'm rooting for it. But yeah, that's just my two cents. All right, Bob Saget is on next. Do you guys remember the theme song from America's Funniest Home Videos when it used to be good?
Oh yes, I do. America, America, this is you.
See, this is the part where the TVs were coming in, right? And had like the family watching TV, so the singing hadn't started yet. Ready? You never knew how good that show was until Bob Saget left. And you're like, man, when Ron Bergeron came in, it was like, oh, we didn't know how good we had it.
Ooh, that's right. Go. That was like early 90s when he came in.
You might be a star tonight. Let that camera roll.
Your red, white, and blue.
Somebody attacked you.
America, America, this is you.
And now here's your host, Bob Saget. And he would come in,
and then he would trip over.
Yeah, exactly. I used to think that was so cheesy back in the day, and like, you know, it was just dad jokes and, you know, just over the top. He'd always make fun of his producer, the off-camera producer, and then he leaves, and we get somebody else, and they're not doing the voices over the videos anymore. They're not making the cheesy jokes. We didn't know how good we had it until he was gone.
And then YouTube killed everything.
Yeah. And now all they do now is they just play videos from the 90s. Because why am I going to watch your show when I can just turn on TikTok and laugh all day? We'll be right back with Bob Saget.
Yo, MZ Now.
Yo, what's up? Jamie Kennedy and Michael Travolta. We'll be right back.
Online at mznow.tv.
Call me on the phone. Call me on the phone. Call me on the phone. I'm on the phone. Call me on the phone. A-A-A. 3-8. MZLIVE5 all day. Call me on the phone. A-A-A. 3-8. MZLIVE5 all day. Call me on the phone. I'm on the phone. Call me on the phone. I'm on the phone. Phone. Call me on the phone. Call me on the phone. I'm on the phone.
MZ Now.
Hey everybody, this is Bobby.
And this is Jesse, and we're going to tell you what's coming up today. Okay.
Wait,
sorry.
Looking at her, you're making her laugh.
I'm looking at the board.
No, it was my fault. It was my fault.
All right, here we go. Hey everybody, it's Bobby.
And this is Jesse, and here's what's coming up today.
You're doing good.
Try not to talk so fast.
I know. Hold on. Just, I think I had too much coffee.
Just say, this is what's coming up
and
next.
Here's what's coming up on today's show.
No, that's too much. Here's what's coming up next.
And here's what's coming up
okay,
next.
Okay, that's fine, too.
Yeah, it's a lot easier
here's
to
say. Here's what's coming up next.
Yeah, okay. You're trying to say too many things.
All right, here we go. Right,
one, two, three. Hey, what the hell was that?
Just so I can see it better. Go ahead.
Just,
I'm sorry.
Give me a beep and not tell me.
All right, here we go. Go ahead. Let me do it again.
Here's what's coming up next.
The microphone falls.
First, we have fashion tips with Chris. He's going to tell you how to look fly in 2015. And next, Forbes top 10 most trusted.
All right, hang on. Wait a minute. So it's she does hers, and then you do yours, okay. And then goes
that's
back to her.
That's what
you.
Yeah.
No, you said her. Do
no,
her
it's her. Twin. You her.
Okay.
And she ends it.
Hey, we also have Michael's twin. I found him on TV. You'll be amazed.
And then Forbes top 10 most trusted celebrities of 2014. List might be a little outdated.
Bobby, so you would end it by saying, all that and more coming up next.
All that coming up more. Or coming up, all that coming up more. Yeah, thanks.
Try it one more time.
All that coming up next.
All that and more coming up next.
Oh, big deal. All that and more coming up next.
Say it like you mean it, though. You
just, I don't mean it.
All right, all that and more coming up next.
I have no inspiration.
All that and more coming up next.
All right, do it again.
All that and more coming up next.
MZ Now. Online at mznow.tv. This is MZ Now.
Divorce is with us, baby.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MZNow.
Already.
This is MZ Now.
Hey, this is Lieutenant Jim Dangle of the Reno Sheriff's Department, and you're listening to Michael come on, I was going to nail it. I got it.
Online at mznow.tv.
Mr. Saget, how are you?
I'm good. I'm living through what we're all living through, the different stages of quarantine as it starts to change, and I'm trying to do what I'm doing, which is entertain people throughout this and hopefully comfort them in some way with different projects.
Yeah.
And we do what we do. You're making people feel good every day, so I'm doing whatever I can do as well.
Well, I'm a big fan of your work. I've been since I was a kid. I don't know if you know this.
Thank
I started
you.
the Bob Saget fan club. I was the president of the Dallas chapter.
No way. thing.
Yeah, it never really took off because no one knew it existed. Marketing wasn't my strong point back then. Still isn't. But I had started it. I had my webpage already up. It was great. I was a big fan. So
thank you.
Do you see this kind of forced timeout as a blessing in disguise in some ways for some people? In other words, like, have you had more time to write and create? I mean, I know you just came out with a podcast.
Yeah, the podcast has been all-consuming. It's not unlike what you're doing, except you're doing 4 hours a day,
right,
every day. And it doesn't allow you to, when you're done, go, hey, let me go work on my other career for 5 hours, right, 10 hours. But I'm able to do a bunch of different things, setting up projects, working on, you know, a movie directing thing, things like that. But the podcast, Bob Saget's Here For You, is on Monday, Wednesday, Friday on Apple Podcasts as well as Spotify and others. And I love it because it's different. I started it before the quarantine, before the pandemic really exploded. And I did it because I was so tired. I was doing it my stand-up also. I was supposed to come to Dallas and do my show, and we had to move everything. The whole idea was to make people feel better because everybody's so separated.
Right.
We all know what's going on. So I wanted to just put an end to that for a while and just have people have fun. And that's what I've been doing in my podcast. I've been calling people because they leave their numbers on a number that's left on voicemail. You can see it on the top of Apple Podcasts or wherever. And I call him. I called one guy. He was stoned for a half hour, and he was laughing about quarantine. So I just kept going with him. It was too good. And then I called my friends and talked for 90 minutes to John Stamos, John Mayer, mostly John's, and Howie Mandel, the king of social distancing.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Last week, and I had Norman Lear and Nikki Glaser and so many great people, Macaulay Culkin and Seth Green's coming up, and I got Bill Burr on Monday, and it's just all a wonderful experience for me, and it's doing well, which makes me happy that people dig it. And the other reason I was calling, and I hate talking so fast, but my time, I'm on a stupid radio tour, which I could just talk to you, especially because you were the head of my fan club.
That's right. The Dallas chapter was a big deal.
Oh my God. Did you have merch?
Yes, we did. We had a cafe press shop set up. And we had t-shirts, but like I said, no one knew that it existed. So I may start it back up now.
This is awesome. So now you guys are in Central Time, right?
Correct.
So what's happening on Sunday, and it'll be 7 o'clock in Dallas, is a wonderful thing that I'm part of. I was able to judge and also present the Best Film and Best Director Award for this wonderful Reel-to-Reel Global Youth Film Festival. And it's a film festival curated by foster and former foster youth. So these are kids that have gone from foster home to foster home and not had places of permanence and had a really rough upbringing. And they made films, and they're 3 minutes long, 9 minutes long. Most of them are short. The whole program will take about an hour and a half, and it's on an hour and 15. And it's on Sunday night. And that's the 31st. And they just go to YouTube to watch it at 7 o'clock in Dallas. And they type in under search, Inspire Give. It is the word, there's one word, Inspire Give. And they'll be taken right to it. And they'll be able to watch these films, and you'll see the 12 submissions that made it to the top. They took over 70 youth filmmakers from around the world. And some people have asked me, you know, what about the losers? What do you do for them? And it's like, well, they're getting their films shown around the world on YouTube, which will be probably a huge number of people because it's a well-known organization that's doing it. And it's quite inspiring, especially now, to see young kids that have faced nothing but hardship make these films that are poignant and they're not political, and it's nothing except just compassion and love, and it just makes you feel for them. So here's the serious me that comes out at times like this, that I'm just happy to be part of it. So,
well, that's so cool. You know, people say that the greatest crossover event of all time was Avengers, but I say it's when you and Jamie Kennedy did Rolling with Saget on Blowing Up back in the day. Do you still talk to Jamie?
I do. It was his birthday 2 days ago. Yeah. He turned 50, so he's still a baby, but that was an MTV show called Blowing Up,
yeah,
and they did a video called Rolling with Saget. This is how the world has changed. we had a budget just to shoot a music video with me of $500,000. Just the music video.
And most of it's and in a car, too.
There's a lot in a car. There's cheerleaders dancing. And I'm in a cardigan sweater sometimes, just like Danny Tanner.
Right.
So, and then Fuller House ends June 2nd.
Yeah.
Is the last nine. And the last episode's the best because I'm in it a lot, so it's really good.
So that's what I demanded. I started a change.org to get you on there more. You and Kouye and everyone, I wanted to see the old crew back more, but it's still great.
Yeah, Fuller House is still great. It was meant to pass the baton,
right.
And we would come back just to be part of it. And
yeah.
Our group texts are more fun than anything. I think the public would love that, but it's not printable.
Right.
So. But life goes on.
Yeah.
As life changes and we get through this, which is what everybody's wanting. I mean, it's funny to look at the news and see people dancing with like crime scene tape around them as they're dancing in their little square, but yet they're still talking to the person next to them and drinking Jello shots. So it's fascinating. But I just want people to be well. That's kind of what I'm aiming for.
That's so cool. So there's really a lot of ways to hear and see Bob Saget these days. I mean, Bob Saget's Here For You. It's on all streaming platforms for podcasts. The Reel to Reel Film Festival, Fuller House on Netflix. And then you also have Cameo. So you're on Cameo now as well.
Oh, I do that, for charity. I do messages for people. And it's nice. I mean, I do it. It goes to charity. It goes to the New York, the Food Bank in New York, the L.A. Food Banks, Scleroderma Research Foundation. I lost a sister to that, and I'm giving to the American Red Cross and Red Cross in, around the world, and just doing what I can, you know, just doing whatever I can. And I'm not going out that much because I'm 64, and they tell me to be careful, but I don't know. Nobody told me to be careful when I was young, and I didn't get anything.
Right.
But I know people affected. I know people that have had it, and
right.
Do you know people have?
I have.
Had it
yeah.
As well?
Yeah.
And that just goes to show you it's not a conspiracy theory, you know?
Right. It's affecting people all over the world.
Yeah, yeah. And that it's supposed to unify us, but it sure doesn't feel that way right now.
Absolutely.
So that's what I'm doing here.
I appreciate all that you're doing to help bring a little bit more joy into the world. And like I said, I'm a huge fan of your work. I appreciate the time, and I hope you stay safe. Stay inside, wear a mask. All that's good stuff.
Yeah, I wear a full hazmat suit at home.
Perfect. Yeah, go full Danny Tanner at home. We need that.
Oh, I'm using Windex like you wouldn't believe, and I'm dust busting. I recently dust busted a vacuum cleaner. It's not even a joke. I did it. So I am Danny Tanner now.
Well, Mr. Saget, I do appreciate it. You stay safe.
Thanks so much. You too. Be well. I'll see you soon, I hope.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
I'm rolling with Saget. Here with Bob Saget. Numero uno. Nobody does it better. Here with Bob Saget. The illest nigga for the inner cardigan sweater. Now tonight's number. Everybody's getting tipped.
So I have some more bad news. I know, you know, we're all going through a lot right now, mm-hmm. but I don't mean to pile on more bad news.
Yes, by all means, please do.
Avatar 2 has been able to continue filming, and so that means we are going to get an Avatar 2.
The James
Cameron? I don't
know
what's going to happen. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately, I was hoping that was going to be a COVID casualty.
Isn't there the plans for him to make like 6 of those movies?
Yeah. There's going to be more Avatars than Land Before Times.
Is he still going to be alive to make those movies? Because it takes him like 10 years to make one.
Right. The first one wasn't even that good. I mean, it was in 3D. All right. They had 3D back in the 50s, didn't they? With the little cardboard cutout comic book glasses.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Why did it take you so long when they did that in a day back in 1950?
Oh, God.
That's another one. That's another guy who, at least in that movie, in Avatar, I don't even know what the story was.
Oh, my God.
We just kind of drop in on this world and some things happen. And I just remember them plugging their tails together and that's it.
It was basically Dances with Wolves, but with aliens.
Yeah. Did anyone finish Space Force? I did.
I did not.
I started watching it.
I'm going to give you my rating on it.
Okay.
Again, just like on Monday, I like it, don't love it. It did get better after like the fifth or it was a slow start, but it did get better. I like all the characters, a lot of funny people in it. If they come out with a season 2, I'm definitely watching it.
Okay.
I give it a 6.5. Not quite a 7. Not quite a 6. It was 5 when I first started. I bumped it up 1.5.
maybe it might be one of those shows where they'll evaluate their writing and the story arcs, and maybe it'll get better. It'll gain some traction.
Yeah, I'm apparently on episode 7. Apparently, I wasn't that drawn to it. I didn't realize I was that deep in.
Oh, you are on episode 7?
Yeah,
I thought you were like on season 1 or episode 1 or 2.
No, but nothing really happened. I mean, nothing of any significance.
But they say with Greg Daniels shows, like The Office season 1 was awful, you know, when that first came out. Parks and Rec, the first like season and a half, two seasons were not great. So it takes him a little bit, but I think it'll be fine. I mean, everyone on there is great. I got to talk about D&D now.
Oh, yes. Dude, that's more exciting to me right now than the damn Space Force.
The D&D story?
Yeah.
It's pretty much exactly what I thought it was going to be, but I do understand why people like it. Like, I understand people liking to build their character, and it's LARPing, but at your house. I don't see myself being hooked on this game because the DNA, the whole concept of the game are things I don't like about games in general. I don't like story in games. Like, I've played every single Halo game they've ever made, and I have no idea what's going on after 15 years or so of Halo. I skip the little cutscenes in video games because I don't care for most of them, not all. Like, if it's a Batman game or, you know, something I'm really invested, like The Last of Us Part 2, I'm going to be really involved in the story. Red Dead Redemption's Red Dead Redemption 2, great example. Like, it's just a story you want to kind of soak in as much as possible. But everything else, I'm just wanting to play the game. So we start off with my buddy giving us all like the background on our characters. And then he's like, and then imagine this world, you know, he goes in this whole painting this picture. And I'm like, I don't care. I don't care about any of that. Like, when are we going to, what's the point of the game? So like half the game is literally just setting up a story to get to a battle where you're actually kind of doing something. So that already is something I don't like. I also don't like when you have to build up your attributes for different things. Like, oh, well, your wisdom, you have 3 points of wisdom. Like, I don't even like that in video games. I just want to go in and, you know, just play. But my buddy had heard the show. He heard, I was very vocal about, you know, the 4 hours and, you know, all this.
Yeah.
So when he built the store, he made a very basic campaign. All of us were noobs, except for him and his girlfriend. And I was the noobiest of all noobs. So the story was very simple. We get this letter, we walk into this town, and we go to this tavern, and then we battle these golem things or whatever. I don't know what we're doing. And but still, it took like 6.5 hours. We had some technical difficulties. We had, you know, some, but I was able to do stuff. We're all at the house. I was able to order
technical
food.
Technical difficulties. Food. You're in a tavern. There's no internet or anything.
Every time somebody would use like a spell, the internet would go out of their house. So I'm like, you guys need to stop using that spell. It's knocking out your little Wi-Fi connection. You know, people are role-playing as different characters like this. My buddy was role-playing as an old lady vendor. And I'm like, I don't like acting for no reason.
I totally concur with you. The one time I played D&D, I was just totally bored with it. And I felt bad because like I was the dissenter in the whole group. And, you know, I'm trying to give it a chance.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm kind of one of those people, like, if I'm reading a book and I'm not hooked within the first 20 pages, I'm putting it down.
Yeah.
Same thing with video games. There's like I got to go back and play Red Dead Redemption 2, the single player, because I've heard better, but the multiplayer is just awful right now. But there's got to be what they've got to realize with these games is that the attention span of a human being is not great. Unless you are already hooked to it or have some background or you're really into fantasy. See, that's another thing. I'm not really into fantasy.
I'm not into fantasy movies. I'm not into fantasy like novels or any like Harry Potter. Not into any of that.
Yeah, I'm struggling to read a Harry Potter book right now. And it's just kind of like it's falling on deaf ears. But the thing about it is when you make something to where there's a person that has total control, creative control over how the game plays out, then I'm also sitting there evaluating my friend's storytelling ability.
Right.
You know? And like, you know what? I might play Dungeons and Dragons if like, say, Stephen King was Dungeon Master. You know?
Right.
It might actually be interesting. But
or like Morgan Freeman's narrating the whole thing.
Right, right. But the thing is, it's you kind of look at it and you're like, wow, you guys are really into this and I want to support my friend. And, you know, it's because also you're talking about a game that has really no rigidness to it. No set like path really, but that yeah, anything like, can happen.
He was like, "Oh, you rolled 25 and now you're going to kill the or you know, now you're facing this golem guy. What are you going to do?" And I'm like, kill him? Okay, yeah. So then you take your sword and you know what I mean? Like, I'm not, what do you mean? I just make up whatever I want?
Yeah.
Right.
I kill the whole army and we live happily ever after and the end. Game's over.
Yeah, see, like, I think when I was playing, it was like, hey, we're in a tavern. Like, there was one part where we were in a tavern, too. And they're like, okay, Clark, what's your next move? And I'm like, well, you know me. I'm going to go grab a beer. And right. It's like, all right, roll 7 to have a beer or something like that.
Yeah, I'm like, can I just walk over and grab a beer? Like, that's...
And it's like, oh, you rolled 5. You're cut off. And I'm like, okay. And it's like, what are you going to do now? And I'm like, well, now I'm angry because I didn't get my drink.
I understand why this game was so big in 1970s because the video game sucked at the time.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You had, what, Pong or whatever, in 1980s. So people played that, and it was a way to be immersive and have a little depth in the game that you're playing. But now we have video games. You know, I don't have to imagine it. I just did it.
I think a lot of people tend to like it for a nostalgia's sake. They like it because of, like I said, the fantasy aspect of it. But I come from the whole point, like, man, Monopoly gets long. You know, at some point I'm just like, all right, one of us is the winner because you
have but a Monopoly is at least fun, though. You know what I mean? You can see a board. You're not imagining anything. You don't have to make up a story. It's kind of a game of chance a little bit, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. But the thing is, there's some times where it's like, really, we're going to do this for 4 hours? Like, right. You know, no wonder you guys aren't getting laid.
So you didn't like season 3 of Riverdale then?
Oh, season 3, that's the one with the
G&G
creature, right?
Yeah, the griffins and gargoyles.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I thought the whole season was good.
I was like on the edge of my seat.
I thought, like, what is this? And there was like a guy in a costume in the school. It was a whole weird thing. But at least, but there's a story and I'm not imagining it. If I had to imagine that whole season of Riverdale in my head, I wouldn't like it. And there's a part of me, though, that because when I came in, I was just joking around. You know what I mean? I'm just going to, that's what I'm going to do when I'm playing the game. Like they ask, oh, you came across this old lady. What are you going to do? I'm going to ask her if she's single.
Yeah, sleep with her.
I'm going to take off my kilt and I'm going to put my, you know, I was doing things like that. But I would never join into an actual group of people that are really serious about it. Because some people really take it seriously and I'm wasting their time and they're trying to rank up this this imaginary character that doesn't even exist, but on this piece of paper in front of them. With this group of people, I know I can get away with that, but I would never just join in and do this as a routine with groups of different people that are really trying to take this seriously, that are career players, you know?
You know what would be a good thing for us to pursue? It's like me and you try, or you reach out and try to find a dungeon master. Try to find somebody that you aren't friends with, and me and you and somebody else plays Dungeons and Dragons, and we just totally ruin the whole experience for the prince, for the person. It's kind of like that episode of Family Guy where Stewie is taking around the cast of Star Trek Generation. And he's like, you people are the most miserable people on Earth. I wish this never happened. If there was a way I could forget about this, I would.
Now, the question is, would I play it again?
Mm-hmm.
Not with just randoms. Would I play with this group of people again? Yes. If I had 4 hours or 5 hours in a day, which I hardly ever have. But if I had that and they were playing, because I like everyone in the group, I had more fun just being there with this group than I did playing the game. The game was just an excuse to hang out with these guys. And I was at home. I could order things. I was actually trying to fix a hard drive while we were playing the game. Like, I was doing things. If I was at somebody's house, no way.
Right.
I couldn't, because then you're stuck. But I could just be like, hey, let me go grab the mail, or let me go, my Grubhub guy's here. I'm going to go out there and get the food. I would definitely play with these guys again because I enjoy their company. But I can come up with 100 things we could do instead.
Eric, have you ever played D&D?
I did, but whenever I was like 12 or 13.
See, that's another thing. I think it would be a lot more fun if I was young.
Yeah.
And,
well, I mean, I would play it now, but I never did find anyone to play it with. I had like a little character and all that.
I can hook you up with Luke. You can virtually join in.
But then again, I don't have, like you said, 4 or 6 hours to spare.
Yeah, if there was a way that, like, you know, you could play like 30 minutes a night here and there and keep up with the whole quest. But I mean, once again, it just goes back to my whole reading thing. It's like, oh, okay, cool. I got to open up the book, and I haven't read this book in like 3 or 4 days, and I'm going back and reading pages to see where I'm at. And, you know, if it's not interesting enough, then I'm rereading stuff over and over again.
That's the other thing. I wish there was a way to where, you know, you could play in 30 minutes, or like if I,
yeah, yeah,
if I could leave and the rest of the team keep playing and it doesn't screw everything up. I wish there was a way that that could happen, but you're stuck. I feel like I'm letting the team down.
Yeah, like I just decided like an hour. Well, I was thinking like an hour, like of a quest, like within an hour or something, quick quest.
Yeah, and I feel first off, it could absolutely be done, absolutely, especially for like four people. You don't have to go into detail and paint this. I have an imagination. You can say you're in a tavern. I see what the tavern looks like in my head just by that. You don't have to. There's bricks on the wall.
I don't need to know that.
That's I got that. I'm already there.
Unless it's pertaining to, like, you know, a clue or something that we need to get,
right,
then yes. But don't tell me, like, unnecessary things.
Like, the author of Dexter, I don't remember what his name is. I've got a Dexter book here somewhere. But that guy, the books are great, or at least the original ones were, the first couple. But he's so detailed. And I'm like, dude, and then it was a semi-cast day and the shadows. Like, I don't care.
It has nothing to do with the story. I get it. He's in a room.
There's like three pages just describing the scene before anything even happens. And I'm like, I don't care. Get on with the story. It's like Zack Snyder wrote a book. And on that note, we do have to wrap up. Next week, Stephen Ogg, GTA and Walking Dead, Bill Farmer, the voice of Goofy, will be on Monday. That's it. We'll see you guys next week.
This is MZ Now, online at mznow.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MZNow.